part of the community, to say we really pledge our full support to endeavor to give us a good contribution.
ANSAC is doing a very good undertaking of developing languages and some big words I can't use now, but you know the thing we are talking about on how to access language. And our goal is just to say people have a right to absorb ANSAC to ourselves. They will, that very important task will get undertaken, I mean not undertaken, but absorbed into the internal politics of Afrikaners and Khoisan and all of that. And I think it will soon be lost and will produce less, what's the big word to use now? Lexicographies? Lexicographies and all of those things. That will suffer.
Well, thank you very much. I suggest that we have a short break, but before we do that, I would like
except if the transport arrangements are agreeable, and to be joined by Commissioner Nsoke from the Eastern Province, Eastern Cape Province. We also do have in our company the Director General of the Office of the Public Service Commission with the Deputy Director General, Mr. Nash Tofa. And I was saying, Chair, that since this is the first time we have the opportunity to address the portfolio committee since the appointment and delegation of Mr. Padoy as chairperson of the portfolio committee. Indeed, we do wish to associate ourselves with the sentiments that have been expressed around this house and a sentiment of support and pledge our complete cooperation and support with him in the pursuit of the objectives of the portfolio committee regarding the public service. And I was just about then to say we are glad also to have this opportunity this morning to present these two reports following our surveys and research in the two provinces regarding the matter of performance management and the development system. We have conducted a few other research activities in this area. We did in 2004 produce a report on performance management, and we also did in the past 2 years conduct focus reports on some selected departments, Department of Home Affairs, Department of Correctional Services, Department of Labor, on which we have come out with this. And in all those exercises, Chair, we underlined one very important aspect that when you speak of the performance management and development system, you are really speaking of the mechanism of an instrument that is designed to ensure two important facets in public administration, namely accountability and improved service delivery. That is really at the core, as a matter of fact, of public administration. Were it not for these two important things, particular service delivery, I don't think we would have any business to be here in this area. So against that background, we were conducted this. But the question we ask in the Public Service Commission is very straightforward question. Show me or tell me where service delivery is taking place or not taking place. And if you can show me that without that being backed by a very well-established performance management instrument, then you will not be able to prove convincingly where your service delivery is happening. I think that is a very simple question, but it carries a great deal of meaning. The range of disturbances, strikes, and so on, protests that we sometimes hear of, we are very clear at the Public Service Commission. If one has an appropriately established system of performance management within the department, those disturbances wood in this tree, very easy to contain and perhaps were prevent from happening. Anyway, the two reports then do discuss these issues in one or the other, and I would, without any further ado, Chair, ask if the Office of the Public Service Commission could lead us in the presentation of these two reports.
Thank you very much, Prof. Thanks for your kind words to commit our nerve to work together as a team. The office. Thank you, Chairperson. Honorable members, the outline of the presentation is as follows. We will make some introductory remarks on the presentation and make some general points that relate to challenges that are there in the public service in terms of the use of performance agreements generally, and then move on to focus specifically on the studies that were conducted in the Eastern Cape and the Northwest provinces, focusing on the objectives of those studies, the scope and the findings in the province, and that will be followed by our recommendations and concluding remarks. Just to indicate what the specific provisions are in terms of principles, the Performance Management and Development System for senior managers specifies certain requirements in terms of the submission of performance agreements, and it specifies in this regard that the performance agreement should be entered into by not later than 30 years of age of each year. For those that have just been newly appointed as members of the SMM, they are given a period of 3 months, or in the first 3 months of their appointment, they should ensure that they have entered into the performance agreement as well. The agreement focuses on a specific financial year, so although one may, for instance, enter into a three-year contract, the performance agreement itself should be first that it specifies the particular financial year to which it applies. And then therefore, thereafter be reviewed annually. Once entered into the agreements, form the basis for performance evaluations, which are then linked to specific departmental objectives, and therefore the content of the PA should derive directly from the strategic plan of the department. Professor Sangwen has already indicated in terms of the involvement of the Public Service Commission in this area, the kinds of studies that have been done, even in addition to these two reports that will be presented today. We have in this process recognized the imperatives of implementing an effective performance management and development system, issues of accountability and issues of improved service delivery, as Professor Sangwen has indicated. But what these studies and our involvement has also helped us with, provided us with useful insights into the actual practices of departments when it comes to performance management and development. An overall concern that we have noted is that of management of performance agreements. Generally, there is an overall poor management of performance agreements by departments. As I indicated, we will talk about common challenges first and then move specifically into the studies done in the Eastern Cape and Northwest provinces. One of the common challenges we have identified is that despite specific provisions being made that they should be entered into by the end of April or within 3 months for new appointees, that they actually get concluded long after the required period, and they are not concluded at all. Some of our studies where you go in and look at the granting of performance rewards, you try to identify on what basis those rewards were made, and you look for the records, and one of the basic records that you look for is the performance agreement, and you find that the performance agreement is not there. They are performance contracts, and it's important that they get it completed on time so that they can then serve as the basis for accountability. The second common challenge is that even in cases where they are submitted, they sometimes not meet the requirements contained in the performance management and development system for senior managers. There are specific requirements in terms of Chapter 4 of the Senior Management Service Handbook that performance agreements should meet. But for example, you find that performance agreements do not include the name of a mediator in case there is a dispute arising out of a performance agreement. That they do not include personal development plans. They are supposed to be. The system is about not only managing performance, but it's also about development. And the personal development plan facilitates that process. When they are not included in the performance agreement, then it becomes a challenge in terms of how you direct the personal development of the senior managers involved. The key result areas also in the performance agreement are not always aligned to the department of strategic plan. And we'll explain this a little bit more when we get to specific findings of the two provinces. And we have come across instances where FMS members are reluctant to enter into the performance agreement because they perceive this to be hindrances rather than enablers of improved service delivery. And some of them view the performance system as an instrument designed to punish them as opposed to it being used as a tool to assist effective performance management. And finally, which is a very important challenge, is that once the performance agreements have been signed, they are not always utilized as a basis for ongoing management of performance and the provision of feedback. Indeed, in some instances, it gets indicated that the performance agreement has been entered into, but it cannot be found, which means if it cannot be found, it's not being used as a reference point for ongoing management of performance and the provision of feedback to the employee. Focusing specifically on the studies conducted in the Eastern Cape and Northwest provinces, through these studies we sought to review the implementation of the performance management and development system for members of the senior management service to establish compliance with the system and other requirements. We're looking at compliance by FMS members with regard to the completion and signing of performance agreements. We're evaluating the alignment of performance agreements to broad and consistent staff development plans, the issue of personal development plans as I raised earlier, and alignment of key result areas to strategic plans of departments. In the Eastern Cape, we're looking at all the 12 provincial departments, but the focus was on the 2006-07 financial year, while in the Northwest Provincial Administration, there again looking at all 11 departments, but the focus was on the 2007-08 financial year. In the Eastern Cape, the overall finding was that the implementation of the TMDS was unsatisfactory. We circulated a questionnaire to FMS members and only 32% of them completed and returned the questionnaire. There were encouraging results from other departments in terms of the response rate. If you look at the Department of Sports, Recreation, Arts and Culture at 75%, but the Department of Health, which has the highest number of FMS members in the province, but showed the lowest response rate compared to the other departments. Only 218 of them signed PAs, which were submitted to the Public Service Commission as requested, where the submission rate was between 35% in the Department of Health and 100% in the Department of Agriculture. And we believe that this is an important observation to make, because given that most departments could not provide the PAC with the reasons why outstanding PAs were not submitted, it is possible that this could be because those PAs do not exist in the first place. Otherwise, they would have been submitted as requested. The issue that we raised earlier on as a common challenge, we found this in the Eastern Cape as well in terms of the content of the performance agreement. The issue of the distinction between key result areas and core management criteria is not always clear. In terms of the FMS handbook, the two are actually different and they shouldn't be a duplication of KRAs under DMC or the other way around. But you find that the distinction is not always clear. And the risk here is that if somebody captures a key result area, which has got to do, for example, with the management of people, and then under core management criteria, captures a core management criterion, which also has to do with people management. It means that when it comes to assessment, you're actually assessing the same criterion twice. Now, in some instances, a departmental operational plan and a strategic plan is copied and attached to the performance agreement and is regarded as a work plan, which means that what the individual is suggesting is that he or she is responsible for the whole work plan of the department, which cannot be correct. And that not all FMS members were supplied with copies of the FMS handbook. There were managers who said, and indeed the HR component that we interviewed, they said, well, we simply encouraged them to download the handbook from the DPSA website. And particularly for new FMS members, this raises the challenge, because as part of the induction process, you would want to bring to the attention of the new FMS members the critical policy principles that within which he or she should work. Now, if these are not being made available, then it becomes a challenge in terms of supporting that manager as they try to find their feet in the organization. Performance management and development system documents are not properly managed in most departments, leading to instances where original copies of fine PAs were kept by individual SMS members, while the expectation is that the original signed copies will be kept at a central place, preferably by HR, and that the individuals will keep copies, which they can then use for purposes of ongoing management and the provision of feedback. The same applies to moderating committees. When moderating committees see one assessment has been conducted, and there is a committee that seeks to moderate the outcome of the assessment between the individual and their employee, proper minutes have to be kept, because sometimes the moderating committees make recommendations that change the outcome of the assessment. Now, if the minutes are not properly kept, there isn't a proper audit trail that can be checked later when it becomes necessary. So, which means that when you're trying to go back and say what was the basis for a particular bonus being paid, you will not find the records to which you would want to refer. And so the implementation of the PMDS is generally unsatisfactory, and with performance reviews and appraisals not being conducted as required. In terms of the system itself, there are specific requirements in terms of at least one appraisal being done at the end of the financial year, but others reviews being done in the middle of the financial year. But you find those instances where there isn't any record that shows that the reviews and appraisals were being conducted. The importance of this particular finding also is that and this is linked to other studies that we have made, that where there is no evidence, for example, that the person ever entered into a performance agreement, that there was an assessment that was conducted and the records are not there, but a payment has been made to the person as a recognition of good performance, that becomes an irregular practice, which will then have to be dealt with in terms of the provisions of the Public Service Act. Looking at the Northwest Province, in the Northwest Province, the response rate was quite positive. We distributed 95 questionnaires to members of the SMS and representatives of HR sections, and all of them were completed in 2010 to the TSC, representing a 100% response rate. And in terms of the signing of performance agreements, we had a 63% overall submission rate by departments in the Northwest. There is, again, that common challenge that the performance agreements do not meet all the requirements as contained in Chapter 4 of the FMS Handbook. One of the critical ones there is that they should be applicable, but to the principles that are reflected against key result areas and core management criteria. So, for example, if you specify identify a particular key result area alongside it, you should indicate which button in the principle you will be giving effect to as you go about doing your work in relation to that particular key result area. And the same applies to core management criteria as well. And our finding here was that in some of the departments, this non-compliance was as high as 100%, so that all the performance agreements submitted don't say anything at all about the particular principles as required. We had a lot of performance agreements that were signed after the due date of Fletcher in April, and in some departments as high as 100%, where all the performance agreements were signed after that, and you see the examples there. And the issue of identifying a mediator in terms of, in case of a dispute, we found that in a lot of cases, the mediator is not identified. About 92% of performance agreements found to lack compliance in this regard. Then there is the issue of personal development plans, that in the PAs that we analyzed, the personal development plans were not always included, and in some cases, in some departments, you find that not even a single PA has a personal development plan attached to it. We give the example of the Department of Education. An interesting observation was that the managers that were interviewed generally agreed that it was important to attain the performance agreement. And we were then trying to compare this positive view about the importance of entering into performance agreements with the actual levels of compliance, and we noted that there is actually a discrepancy here that sort of surprising that there is this positive view, but the timely signing of PAs is still a challenge in the province. I think in the actual report itself, we also note the significance of the high compliance levels at the level of heads of departments in the province. That in the Northwest province, at the level of heads of departments, the compliance levels are very high. You have all heads of departments entering into and submitting their performance agreements. You have all heads of departments who qualify to have their performance evaluated. And the issue we are raising, therefore, is why aren't we having that high level of compliance at the level of heads of departments translating into a high level of compliance as well at the level of management managers? The reasons given by senior managers for non-compliance, they include inadequate support from human resource components. They include delays in the finalization of operational plans, because once as long as this plan has not been finalized, then they are not able to develop their individual work plan and therefore complete the signing of the performance agreement. In terms of the appraisal processes and the reviews that have to be done, we had some managers indicating that in the last 2 years they have been assessed quarterly. 10 of them saying they have been assessed half yearly, and then we said we had 45 of them saying they have only been assessed annually. And I think the significance of this pattern of assessment is that the annual appraisals are usually linked to the granting of performance rewards, while the other assessments that take place during the course of the year, those are important for purposes of feedback and support. Now, if the focus is only on the finance appraisal, the public service is actually missing a very good opportunity for using this instrument effectively to provide feedback and support the development of managers and in the process improve performance. We had some managers, although a very small number, that said that they have not been assessed at all in the last 2 years, which means that the reviews themselves are not receiving the attention that they deserve. In terms of the recommendations that we have made, in both we've taken them from both reports, we again emphasize the importance of ensuring that the PAs are signed by the 30th of April of each year, that the PA should be used as a basis for the evaluation of the performance of SMS members, the importance of having the performance agreement quality assured by human resource components to ensure that they comply with the requirements. The importance of ensuring that the human resource section actually have the capacity to play their role in supporting the effective implementation of the system, and the provision of training to SMS members on the implementation of the system. We also raised the important role of the Office of the Premier here, that it should ensure that the necessary support is provided to departments for the full and effective implementation of the system, and we also raised the important role of provincial legislatures here, which should ensure that that executing authorities are held accountable for the effective implementation of the system in their respective departments. In fact, in the Eastern Cape report, we even take this further to say that given the unsatisfactory implementation progress, there should actually be an action plan that is developed, which is then submitted to the provincial legislature so that it can be monitored closely to ensure that the system is indeed implemented effectively. In conclusion, these studies have shown that the department has not been rigorous enough in the implementation of the system. I think it's important enough, obviously, to show that there are areas, obviously, where departments have shown some progress when it comes to, for example, the signing of performance agreements. As we have indicated in this report, there are instances where you get 100% compliance rate and so on. But overall, our concern here is that they have not been rigorous enough in implementation. And given the critical role played by senior managers in the implementation and guiding of departmental programs, this for us is a worrying consideration. And if you look at the key role that performance agreements are supposed to play in the whole management value chain, we believe that if the management of performance agreements is improved, this will not only strengthen service delivery initiatives, but it will also boost the morale of senior managers as well, because they provide the basis for ongoing communication, they clarify performance expectations, the basis for feedback and so on, and that will be important for boosting the morale of senior managers. But we believe that this process requires the active participation of all senior managers within departments in order for the system to be effective. HODs should provide the required direction here and discipline to ensure the effective implementation of the system, using the example that I raised about you know, where the HODs themselves are complying. So they should, based on their own levels of compliance, their own levels of discipline and direction, do the same when it comes to people reporting to them to ensure that they effective implementation throughout the department that they are responsible for. There should also be an ongoing monitoring and evaluation of implementation to ensure that progress is established and that areas of weakness are identified and addressed. These are the findings that are the system of West and the Eastern Cape. But as I said in the introductory remarks, that some of these challenges are common across the public service. And when we think about improving the implementation of the performance management and development system, we should recognize that the recommendations as well could be applied to other parts of the public service as well. Thank you.
Thank you very much, the Commission, for the presentation. And before we participate fully in the debate, let me acknowledge the presence of students from the North African Defense College. From the North African Defense College. You are welcome. This is the Portfolio Committee meeting. Portfolio Committee is an extension of Parliament. We focus on public service and administration. So you are welcome. This is a public meeting. Unfortunately, you may not participate. And I've said you may not participate, but you have just participated now by responding to. but you're not out of order. Colleagues, that's a presentation from the Public Service Commission on this issue of performance agreement. Compliance with the requirements, the practice there, the focus is on two provinces. I'm not sure if the report from two provinces now reflect on average what's holding in the country. And I'm not sure if that is the case. What is it that would then have to say? What is up to you? Let's debate. Baba Mkakane, your hand is up. Mema Tomela. Baba Sinodi Tembu. Oh, if you cannot take Mr. Mene. Let's take that as the first round. Baba Mkakane.
Chairperson, I would like to start with the fact that when I listened to the Professor Sangweni as the chair of the commission, acknowledging your appointment, I thought he was going to make a remark which says he would have loved, or the commission would have loved to have seen so-and-so appointed the likes of Oscar Khan. Be as it may, there is water under the bridge. Could the Chief Director clarify one point which kept me gasping? If I got it well, he says, in some cases, they found out that performance agreements had been signed, but could not be found, which meant they could not be used. I don't understand that. If they were signed, and therefore the mere fact that they could not be used, could not be found, therefore they could not be used. How does that happen? It left me not clear of what is the meaning of that. The second one is he spoke of in some instances where SMS members were not given handbooks. By whom? Secondly, that by implication it means by not receiving the handbooks it caused some lack of performance or lack of knowledge in their performance as SMS. Could he expand on that? Thank you.
Thank you very much, Baba Mkakane. Richard, I'm sure you are satisfied with that. I thought Mr. Mkakane would also indicate as to whether the commission used that as an acceptable explanation. To say somebody at the level of the senior manager, having not received their handbook, is that worthy to be considered as an explanation? If not, then maybe the question is why then do we have to mention it? Are they supposed to be lying at that level? I'm talking about senior managers. At that level, when you talk of senior managers, really, are they actually supposed to be lying on somebody else to present the handbook? Or that is actually the first requirement to know as to the tools that they actually have to use as they do their work. I think we need to I'm sorry, I was going to put it. It's not because of what they did.
Thank you. want to avoid food. One is that some enterprises are actually reluctant to enter in. And for me, I don't think this is supposed to be especially for the Indian oneself. I mean, if people have gone to fight, they have to do it. But the way it is put, it's like they're giving them an option. They have an option as to whether or not to enter into it. And for me, it's not, they're not fair. Secondly, the one on the utilization of their chicken. Because once I find they say they are not always utilized as a basis for ongoing management performance. Then the question that comes in is that if these are not utilized as such, how then do HODs manage performance and ensure that the performance is towards the achievement of the first goals and objectives of the department? And the feedback, which is normally provided only at the end of the year, how effective is that kind of feedback? And then to be more specific to the Northwest Province, the findings there are that some reasons given by senior managers for non-compliance are that they cannot get support from the HR component. I just want to find out how valid are these reasons. As the Public Service Commission, we agree that they indeed that is the situation, and all the recommendations we are saying that there's a need to capacitate the HR department. So I just want to know what kind of capacity are we referring to what extent are we involving some in ensuring that there is capacity in this department. And finally, we also recommend that there has got to be training. Departments should ensure that training on the SMS NCS does exist. I just want to know whether this training has not taken place or where are we in as far as training is concerned. Thank you.
Thank you very much. You want to know at what stage does a challenge become a problem? Mr. Mene.
Chair, thank you very much. I'm not going to ask questions on the report itself because I think the Public Service Commission did a marvelous job. My question this morning is to this committee. What are we going to do about all of this? What is the role of this committee to take this further? What is the role of the executive to take this further? It is so that somebody must take responsibility and take this issue further. We can't expect the commission to do it. Somebody else must do it. And I think as part of our oversight role, we should take this further. And the executive should take this further. We can't just leave this at this report and do nothing about it. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mene. It was in you now. Now we'll come to Mr. Benoni.
Thank you, Chair. I agree with the observation that this is a very welcome report on this study. What I find... my first question is, are there other insights that have not been recorded here for whatever reason? The reason I'm asking this partly is also because I noticed the mentioning of executive authorities only comes at the end when we speak about recommendations, not when we identify problem areas. Is this perhaps being diplomatic? Now, I'm talking from experience here, partly, because I suspect in the identification of the problem areas, surely there must be something that can be said about executing authorities and their role. They can only mention when you speak about recommendations and so on, and the role they must play at that level. The second related part, just to emphasize the point you were emphasizing from Jacques Kakane's point, when people are expected to download stuff, the assumption is that when they were recruited, it is compulsory that they are computer literate. And is that so? If you ask me to download stuff, and I do, well, with MPs, for example, you can't even dare say that. I can say this with confidence. You can't say that you must download stuff, you'll be playing games. So, okay, I'm revealing state secrets here.
With the exception.
this is an important issue. In other words, for people at that level, certain things ought to be compulsory. So when we say that, it should be expected that they can do it and so on. So that's the one area that I was feeling concerned about. My final point is there a case to be made for compulsory immersion of orientation at the highest level? Part of the reason I'm asking about executing authorities is unless people are really appreciate the implications of not doing these things, then the likelihood of them doing it is very slim. So somebody conducted certain cabinet training programs that did not go any further, which I thought could play a role in that area. Is there a case to be made for such compulsory induction, orientation at the political level to ensure this thing really happens? Because otherwise, we are expecting people to play roles that they probably do not appreciate and so on. Thanks, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. I think the Commission, when they respond, they will have to clarify for the point you raised, why he has mentioned the later stage. Maybe this was to say it's obvious. When you remind, you have to remind those who know exactly what it is that they have to do. You come at a later stage. maybe that's the reason. What about him?
Thank you, Chair. I think this study, to me, reveals one of the issues I've raised. See, when this question of performance agreement or performance contract was introduced, it forms part of the new thinking around the question of managing performance. That is to say, managers are actually employed on the basis of what they are going to do, outputs. And therefore, when they are employed, they enter into an agreement with the executive authority. And I think I want also to express a view about the executive authority and what they've said. And I think we should start here. Because we blame the management, but the person, the political head, is ultimately accountable to enter into an agreement with the head of department. And once it sorts out that, then I think it follows with the other SMS. So I fully agree that actually the political head, executive authority, they are the people who must explain why they don't enter into an agreement with the head of department. Because the executive authority is responsible for outcomes. That's the vision of the department, what is going to be done, and what's called. And on the basis of that, you say, okay, you are going to be the head of this department. Will you be able to deliver what I want to achieve, my vision? So if we don't deal with the executive authority, then there will be a problem with other SMS.
So I think time has come that to answer you, Mr. Mani, I think the time has come that now, as a portfolio, we identify those departments specifically. Departments of Education, where there are serious problems, and there's 100% non-compliance. The executive authority must be called to explain. Because we cannot keep on talking and saying every year, must explain why there is no agreement with your head of department. How do you hope to achieve your vision? How do you make your head of department to account? That Professor Ibrahim pointed out, for accountability and service delivery. So I'm saying, party comrades, let's call it presidency. We started with the executive authority and the head of department. Then to simple follow the other things. Now, secondly, as I've said, the reason for this kind of watch call is meant to improve service delivery and to manage performance effectively. Now, what comes out from the report is that the compliance with most of the demand, just strategic compliance, to receive that you're studying, is unsatisfactory. But secondly, if you look at substantive compliance, the content, the quality, it's there. Now, which means to say that now, since the introduction of this performance management system, there seems to be challenges, because this is the third report we get the similar, more or less the same findings. Now, while I want to raise the question, is the problem with the system itself, is unimplementable, or is the question of gross negligence or gross incompetence, or simply just people and not taking their responsibilities seriously. Now, if now we were to answer this question, I want to suggest that perhaps we need to take 8 departments or identify 8 departments where there's 100% compliance, that's strategic compliance, but equally important for substantive issues, quality. Then we ask the Public Service Commission to try and find out whether there is any relationship between compliance and the quality of the content and service delivery. And if we find that there is a positive correlation, then obviously, because now people can take the thing to make this compulsory. It's not a question whether you like it or you don't like it. If compulsory is mandatory, therefore now, will have a moral authority, because we've got now, evidence, research-based evidence, that actually those departments that are compiling, not just strategically, but also the content of the agreement, in terms of the strategic plan, the operational plan, and all these other things, to find that at least there is some relationship. Then we can call all these other people who are not so that appropriate action is taken. And next, we recommend the
court. thank you very much, Mr. Mtembo. Yeah, your comment. That is the first set of questions. And we expect the commission to respond. And after that, we'll take follow-up. Mr. Ulysses is going to be...
Second, because I think I need to ask a question before the commissioners respond. Please, I beg of you.
Mr. Ulysses is saying that he's burning. So let's take him now. And then after that, the commission will respond. But what we indicate that the commission has actually provided us with a tool. And what remains is for us. I don't think we have to ask as to how sharp the tool is. itself enough to be used. As to what we do with this tool, it is for us to look at our money, our oversight role, and then we need to do exactly that. You know, what is striking in the presentation is that even in areas where there is no compliance with the key requirements to have performance agreement, but the information is that people are being rewarded. People are being rewarded. Then you ask yourself, if you say it's a performance bonus, I just want to reflect that. Now, what performance is there? What is the yard that determines whether this person performed below expectation, above, or exceedingly so? If there are no performance agreements, it becomes a serious issue. If people may say, we pay for incompetence, we pay for poor performance, we actually pay for all the negatives. You are not in a position to can explain, to can justify, to can defend your call, because you don't have a this performance argument. I think it's a very serious issue that we need to do. We have, Mr. Mini, as you had indicated, as to what is the role of the committee, what is the role of the executive. This committee has to do the necessary oversight to make sure that the executives truly account for this. We have not maybe for some time now summoned any department to appear before us. I think it's time that actually it has to happen. You will see in our program for the year, we have arranged that we want to interact with the portfolio committees and the provincial legislature. We said we'll have an in-depth to actually look at these instruments of sharpening oversight. There is a recommendation by the PSC in this report that the provincial legislatures must actually pull up their socks. I think it included there is what we have identified. We might want, I think we'll do that, to bring that forward. Bring that forward so that we're not interacting with provincial legislatures later in the year, but we bring that forward to do that now. So that we then see as to whether we are ready at that level. Commissioner, as I've indicated before you reply and say, Mr. Yulis.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, you know, I was listening now to my colleagues here, and I want to be straightforward this morning. And what they say is what I preach since I got into this committee. Service delivery, nothing else. What are we going to do every year, every 3 months? The last meeting with the PSC, I can't take the thing to Parliament. Because the place is in Parliament. Because somehow, people are taking this government for granted. Director General, I don't care who it is. But the people that need service delivery, our people, they don't get service delivery out there. Because people in here get wages every month. And up to heaven when there is performance agreements, they don't care about the performance agreements. We can't ask, and I said it before, we can't ask the PSC to come and explain to us. I mean, here they represent me with the report. Every 3 months they present me with the report. And all the reports I saw so far, nothing positive come out of the reports. I mean, if you can go through the reports, you will see. This department there, that department there, that. Now, we show finger to the executive. We as a political head in this parliament, we should take the fund for this.
because we didn't do our oversight work right. We didn't fulfill our obligations, our mandate, which the constitution of this country said to us, you are responsible for that. That's why we are here. And by time, my colleague here, Mr. Mini, it's by time that we as a committee, I pleaded with you people, what can we do to get the service delivery? Can we change the status of the committee? From a portfolio committee to a standing committee, you people say to me, no, there's other ways to do. Now, I want to see which way we must do. Because somebody must take the rest, and I'm not going to take the rest for this. So, colleagues, let's do our duty. If we don't perform, my friend, how can we get paid if we don't perform? We get a bonus of 43,000 rand. What are you doing? What are we doing? Let us stand together. So can I, my DA, take me and say to me, I should please go there and go do that for us there. Go fire the DG. Then I go fire him tomorrow. But let us, please, let us see that the people out there which we represent here get what they must get. That we deliver services to all the people out there. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Yuri. That was truly a follow-up. and thanks for reminding yourself that you have been preaching, and now is your time to practice what you preach. Yes.
Yeah, thank you very much, Chair, for the questions from the members. My colleagues with the provide the answers as we move along. But I would like, in the first instance, Chair, just to draw your attention. As I mentioned earlier on, our colleague from the Eastern Cape Province, Commissioner Soki, has joined us now.
You're welcome, please. We have just raised your problem.
Chair, you know, with regard to the question which seems to be really very near looming over the all over the place, the question of what to do with this. And there are various suggestions made, including conducting a further study on those departments that have complied in order to prove that indeed the application of the performance management and development system does work. Chair, I think the answer that you have given yourself, that it is now only the committee in terms of its money, in terms of its oversight function, that should do the necessary. I believe we have been put on the table, all that needs to be put on the table. There isn't anything to prove, really, as to the efficacy of the PNPS, as we know it, the Performance Management and Development System, as was, it is already being promulgated and promoted. It's really a question of people complying with it, and we've pointed out the reasons behind the non-compliance. We have a right, as we've said before, conducted studies, very specific studies, which dealt not only with the officials, but also with the ministers and the executives and the responses were forthcoming as to what needs to be done. But until and unless the portfolio committee, you alluded to something very, very important. Do we as a committee ever call these departments to come and account? I think to me, myself, that would be the answer. We would be prepared at any time to come, if you commandeer us to come on those occasions, to come and explain what we've seen. And I don't think that would be a problem. But any further work really, other than in to this, I don't think that would be an issue. The clarification of clarification, I would ask my colleagues to provide those questions of technical clarification that have been raised.
Thank you.
personal conviction.
Share this.
First of all, I'm happy to be here, especially because failure to give up is one of those issues that we know church of them that I'm very passionate about. I don't want people to
hear them. That's why you were so worried about the young
Kawaii. And the result did slightly improve them. But the problem that we face as a country, because this is not a problem in the provinces as such. If you look at the HOD, the question raised by Honorable Tim, to say, are the executing authorities signing performance agreements with HOD? Because once that happens and they're signed on time, then for the HOD to deliver, they need to sign performance agreements with the senior managers. Now, the commission has come here quite frequently in the last 2-3 years to say that we're unhappy about HOD evaluation. And recently we have been collecting performance agreements of HODs to check them for quality, and I can guarantee you that we're not getting them. We may be getting them in other provinces, but we're not getting them as we should get them on time before the 1st of April, as far as I'm concerned. And let me explain myself on why I say even before the beginning of the year. You have an MTEF, which runs on a 3-year basis, which tells you as the head of department more or less what allocation you will get next year, which means that you can plan virtually for a 3-year cycle on what you're going to do if you're intelligent and you sit down and you do the job that you're supposed to do as a manager, which means you can do even your procurement estimates for the next 3 years, in time. And it does mean equally that when you produce a strategic plan, your managers can then start preparing their performance agreement so that when the budget speech is made by the MEC or the executing authority minister, then everything is in place. The strategic plan, the performance agreement, and everybody. But we don't need to ask for these things even in May. They should be there at the beginning of the year because the strategic plan, and you can ask department. Every year when you're looking for people, there are strategic planning sessions, especially around November, October, and all those people. At that time, people must start doing the planning for implementing those strategic plans that they are drawing. To do that means that everybody must then start writing his own or her own performance agreement on what am I going to do to ensure that the strategic plan is implemented. So at the beginning of the year, we must all start running. Nobody must tell us that I still have to look for this, I still have to look for that. The plans must be ready, the strategic plan must be ready. When the executing authority opens his or her mouth in parliament and says, this is my budget, this is what I'm going to do with it, there must be plans to ensure that from day one, people will be running to ensure that that takes place. Now, that is the responsibility that some of us would like to see this committee taking forward to executing authority, and there should be no compromises on this matter. No, none whatsoever. Because people spend money, spend weekends, spend weeks saying we're going on strategic planning sessions. What's the point of producing a my strategic planning document with outcomes and everything else when there is no plan at a particular time on how you're going to implement that? When you evaluate heads of department, one of the things that you discover, or when you read the annual report of department, you find that one project that was supposed to be done is not done because it is written there were no funds to carry out that project. I say to this committee now, if the strategic plan was made in time, if the budget was given to you over a 3-year period estimate, You should know at the beginning of the year which ones you need to drop and which ones you don't need to put in the plan for that particular year. And therefore, at the end of the year, unless there was an emergency and you had to spend money somewhere else, we should have no excuse for many people saying, I did not have the money to do this particular issue. So that is, yes, it's a process issue, but I think that the committee would be not applying its mind fully if it just concentrated on the anomalies that we're bringing forth to you. I think we need to concentrate on the anomalies as a whole in the system. And those anomalies start with the strategic plan, the budget speech, at the budget speech, the plan for good radio for everybody. And that should be no excuse accepted by anybody in a country that has limited resources on this matter.
Thank you, Chair. Also, to echo the chairperson, thank you and congratulations on your appointment. Honourable members raised the question of training as a way of resolving the problem, addressing the problem somewhat. Honourable Sinodi was asking me if there's anything that's ever been suggested by way of induction for executing authorities. We have suggested this as a public service commission, part of work that we've done for the executive, stressing the need for some kind of orientation. We've actually conducted a study on the capacity needs of PA, on which the recommendations that we make in that report that we're still considering with the executive we make. In relation to the department, part of the problem is that training is not compulsory. So they spend the money that's allocated for training anywhere that they want to. And some of the entities that may provide the training may be well conversant with the PNDS as it should be understood, but others have got different understanding of what the PNDS should be. I myself met an extraordinary company in Durban at a conference that was explaining what it was doing with the PNDS on the premise that the public service functions on the edge of chaos and therefore should be equipped. It was a very convoluted kind of thing. We need uniform training, and I think this is where SAMDI comes in. We had suggested at the strategic planning session that this might be an area that the portfolio committee would want to look at. What kind of training that is uniform is provided to equip our senior management to rise in harmony to challenges in a cost-effective manner. In relation to what the portfolio committee might want to do, my suggestion would be building on what process has done. Do a random sampling prior to the budget speeches of the minister, correlating the annual reports that were submitted at the end of last year with performance contracts. We need to show you a sample of a performance agreement for you to be able to understand its fullness as it stands and what exactly it entails. Then on the basis of that, we can supply you with a list of departments that complied at HOD level last year, who can then be summoned. What you would then be doing is to use your extensive mandate. We, as a commission, are responsible for the 9 principles that are in Chapter 10. If we are, then you are. Then you must also be in a position to summon any department to come and take and to come and present to you is a package of performance agreements assigned by senior managers, including the HOD, and you ask them to take you through those performance contracts against the annual report. You could easily do that as you're considering the budgets of the minister. On what basis are the budgets that are being presented to Parliament presented? What is at the back of them? And you go back to the performance contracts again to look at it, the performance agreement to look at it. Do a random sampling. We have the statistics for the custodians of performance contracts. We can tell you who has complied and who has not complied. If they submitted an annual report last year, take that annual report, ask them to tell you on what basis they finalized an annual report without a performance contract. The worrying thing is that if an HOD and senior managers have not performance contracted by the end of the year, The critical question is, since the State of the Nation address was made, what were they performing on? On what basis were they performing? And how were the ministers pooling together in the clusters if their individual departments did not have the things in place? So that is the vastness of this area. We can show you a sample of what a performance contract is. We can take you through the different parts of it, the CMCs, what are the implications of the CMCs. We can take you through the KRAs and explain to you what the KRAs are. Then what we can do is then put that together with the manner in which HODs are then evaluated for you to be able to understand in a fuller sense and then be able to run and call people to come and explain to you the basis on which they were operating for anyone. It's really very simple. Random sampling. And then discussions in parliament.
Thank you very much, Commissioner Mtoki.
Thank you, sir. Good morning, Honourable Members. I obviously missed some of the questions that we obviously have to answer. But there's just one thing that I had to say, which I liked, and if only because it's been said before, I thought it was kind of underscored. And that's the sense of liaison between the legislature here and the legislature and the province. This thing has been said before, and I can tell you, I think I get a sense of the sensitivity juncture. Maybe it's easy for the National Assembly and the portfolio committee here to talk in terms of direct in the action with the department. But where there is not this tight liaison between the provincial relevant administration committee and this one, I mean, the work of this committee is done just as both here and in the provinces. But I'm not getting the sense of working together. For instance, this report is said to have been tabled in our province. I don't want to land by table, but I suppose get tabled in the chamber. But it's not been discussed by a relevant portfolio committee. So my question is, isn't there a way that we could tighten on your relationship, well, relationship between yourselves and the relevant portfolio committees in the province? I have a number of other reports, for instance, which would have liked to have them discussed by relevant committees in the province, but they have not really been able to have to be able to discuss as such. So I'm really appealing to you to just maybe act on what you had decided before, which you are now repeating again, that you must tighten up the liaison between yourselves and the provincial portfolio committee. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much. I'm told that he is waiting, but he said to me, no, he may come back. Can we just take questions and then you ask members to be straight to the point? Hey, but the committee must use to respond on some of the questions. Eh?
Very quickly, Chief, on some of the technical questions that were asked. You asked whether there was a question on misunderstanding around whether performance agreements are being signed, but they're not being found or used. I think what we were really saying that in some cases the departments were not giving a reason for the non-submission of performance agreements. So we can only assume from the Public Service Commission where no reason existed, that really because they did not fill in a performance agreement. I think just that correction. And then in relation to the SMS handbook and whether the Commission finds this an acceptable excuse or not, I think clearly for the Commission, ignorance of the law is no excuse. And especially at that level, we need to understand and be familiar with the regulations that govern not only your appointment, but the areas of your work as well. However, in stating that reason, we were really stating it from our research perspective. As researchers, we were duty-bound to record what were those reasons. It does not say in recording them that the Public Service Commission finds those reasons acceptable reasons. And I must agree with the Honourable Member that the fact that it is really a no-starter, it's a non-starter when SMS members are reluctant to sign the act. Performance agreements are a regulatory requirement. But the issue then is where is the executive role where these performance agreements are not in time and the use then of the SMS disciplinary handbook. They are mechanisms where a senior, where a yellow department or an SMS member fails to sign a performance agreement. They are mechanisms where these breaches and these transgressions can be dealt with. What we should be asking ourselves further into the research is really what is happening where these signings are not taking place. And I think what the one level as a commission is very clear in terms of a series of research that we've done on performance agreements and performance management. And we've consistently raised our concerns around the commitment from executive authorities in relation to PA. But in these studies, the Northwest study, as a case in point, where you actually got all of the heads of departments have signed their performance agreement. Now, the question there is really those HODs need to be summoned, because why is just not functioning down in terms of their department? You can't really blame the executive authority for that particular case. You've got a management responsibility. I, as the Director General, must ensure that my DDGs have signed their performance agreement, and in turn, they need to ensure as well. So in the Northwest case, clearly your heads of department must take responsibility and liability for the non-signing of performance agreements for those levels of staff that fall below them. And I think, yes, those were basically the issues that we try to respond directly to. And what they've lost is, there is a problem with the performance agreement system. Well, that in itself is an interesting question. And what the Public Service Commission is trying to do currently, we're busy with a study which actually asks the question, is the performance agreement a useful tool for the purposes of managing performance? We don't know yet. We haven't come yet with the answer in relation to that. But hopefully when we finalize our study, we would be able to say something much more definitive in terms of the usefulness of performance agreements.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
The Commission still wants to respond, Mr. Masango. I'll take members. I just want the Commission to finish responding on correspondence.
Sir, so. I think we must give credit with this. I think CMEs are now under growing tires. I don't know if it's training, I don't know what it is for them, but they are all undergoing training now. Without exception, I think all of them are undergoing training. However, if we do managers in education should have in their development agreement
improvement of education in their particular area. When we started, Honorable Manuel, when we started in the public service, let me understand you, in the Northwest, I don't think we had more than 40 directors, absolutely, when we started. We now have hundreds and hundreds of directors and senior managers in the public service. From 1994 to date, the number has virtually tripled, if not more than that. How do we now say, and I think it's the job of this committee, maybe to even ask the Public Service Commission to say, has there been any improvement ever since then? Or are we just increasing the number of SMS people in the public service? And those questions need to be asked by the public staff and the British in the portfolio.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you very much. Can we now just for 5 minutes go grab the cup, come back, and then we'll take the last meeting, but I think yes, we have to present. Otherwise, we'll run into trouble. Just 5 minutes. Just grab our cup and come back.
Thank you. both sides, and then we then prioritize as to where. But I think it would be very, very useful if we had a standardized tool so that wherever we go, we know exactly what we are looking for. And I think this is a challenge that faces all of us. And you have to be careful on your policy. And then I would suggest that after we have a meeting with the commissioner, should actually call the HOD. I think that would be relevant, that because the operation, because the HOD are the people who are in charge at the operational level. And then find out from them what are the challenges and what prevents them from preventing this policy. From there, we actually be getting a holistic approach, and I think we'll be able, the whole of us as role players, to be able to see as to how can we conquer this challenge. Also, we have actually said that this will be nothing else but a service giver. So as the meeting has said, I think that's the way that we have to put it, so that all of us we think that service delivery is done with the best citizens actually being implemented.
Thank you. Mr. Manning.
Chair, yeah, thank you. I'd like to you know, comment on the issue of oversight and responsibility. My problem is still is going to call those people that are not respond. For example, in the findings in the Eastern case, of the 437 questionnaires that were distributed to SMS members, only 132 were completed by themselves. That representing overall response rate of 32%. My question is that, what is going to happen to the chief care agency? Don't you think it is time that the Public Service Commission or the Department of Public Prison Administration on a yearly basis bring a list of the culprits to this commission? The minister, Gucci, and everybody else in that very third part so that we can see who's actually on the platform and print those lists in the document that comes to this committee.
Thank you, Mr. Manning. Mr. Kakana is going to ask them to the roof meeting. What about teaching?
Thank you, sir. Secondly, I'm coming to the end. And I will speak to the end. This is for secondly, to preserve the political climate here. And this is the political climate. And it's part of the other step that we must cut the thing. The role responsible for the political management is part of the climate. There is no way we can play the stupid things to the people who are in the market. Let those reforms come and come. People are going to mean that. You don't know what is happening with mean that. They are looking for someone. And you don't know the relationship between the provincial commissioner and the minister, the MEC and minister in the federal of the province. Those are going to be like this. What was the community in the meeting? And also, how do they relate to the minister? There is no way you can go on that day. Because this is what comes up every year. This is the same thing every year. This is from a summer account. And what is the Supreme Court doing? So, these people are from a summer account. There is no way you can go on that day. Thank you for that.
Thanks for cool down. Mr. Snorri, I see and Mama Tomas, we are having such a serious trouble at the time. If I can ask the members to be careful.
No, this matter for this to ask a suggestion after whether it is best when we give you vote to the chairperson of the future committee to bridge it from the Matai. Can I speak to the nature of the problem? Linky
thank you very much. I Mama Thomas. No, thank you very much. Thank you very much. The commission, as you respond, I think also give your last comments so that we take it from there. What we can say is that as a committee, really this interaction has been very important. You actually met our expectations in talking to us in terms of this issue. Let us use the question as to if this is a picture for football. In as far as the government argument is concerned, what is the national future? That's a question that we actually have. Like we have indicated, that we are going to exercise our strategic planning session, we indicated to our future that we will have to actually employ all mechanisms, from writing letters, to conferring, to using clusters, to engaging our counterparts in the provinces. That's what we then said we need to actually surprise that we would have to bring forward, because we're supposed to meet, I think it's somewhere in May, we were supposed to meet the provincial legislature to deal with the question of overtime. We'll have to bring that forward. And this report will be guiding us as we do that. We must be seen in Northwest, in the Eastern Cape with our counterparts there, and those departments that are affected in terms of reports like this one. So to them say, how do we take the process forward? If departments will be challenging the report of the public service from Kintobi, because what we need to do is to actually get to the bottom of what's happening, so that when you then say you recommend an action, you know that action is actually an appropriate action that you I think we need to do. Well, the situation can be accepted like that. We have noted this issue that I think the DG of public service, I mean, also the public service commission will say, the executive authority or executive authority actually held accountable up to a certain level, and then going down the issue of the head of department, administrative head of department, or their state responsibility. We know that. But we know, knowing very well that there is no MEC who is the MEC of executive department. There is no minister who is the minister of executive of the department. You are a minister of the department from the immediate level below you up to the last level. And when it comes to accountability, you actually are accountable from A to Z. So whereas we know that some people have to make sure that at other levels the responsibility is to ensure that performance agreements are there. But if executive authorities are accountable, they have to be accountable. That's what we need to do. We have raised this issue, it's true, of failing to interact with legislators, provincial legislators, and we're saying we're going on. And we have indicated that, like when we deal with annual report, you remember, I think it was 5 when we dealt with the annual report of the Public Service Commission. That is that it can be correct that the annual report of the Public Service Committee will just have to appear like a normal report of a department. The committee has to express an opinion on the annual report of that. And it's an opinion on what? It's very clear. Compliance with the values. You can't have an annual report that's so shiny from a department that the report on performance agreement, for instance, is just like your performance management is just like it becomes a very serious challenge. It's not actually a great area, I'm not sure it's a great area, but really it's a very bad area. we need to look at that. So we're going to do all the process as a committee. We'll come back to you to the meeting. You remember as a committee that we have in our program an arrangement where we're going to look at compliance with the committee, the report. And we are going to look at that. That will give us an opportunity to reflect on the recommendations and what action has been taken to implement those recommendations. We'll definitely deal with that. You'll also remember that we are going to look at the issues around backing, orientation, and co-orientation. It's coming soon. I'm not sure as to which one the least department in that regard. But we're going to look at it. So that when you look at these issues that arise from today, you then check as to whether there are some missing links in dealing with such factors. So from my side, that was to say, then commission to attempt to respond to the last question and to give a story.
Yeah, thank you very much, Chair. There isn't really much that I think we can say by way of responding to the comments more than anything else which I picked up or observation. The answer still goes back to what we were saying earlier on. The real task is really now with the committee to take the appropriate action in terms of the oversight function. We obviously will be there to provide whatever support we are requiring. The suggestion for a meeting with the portfolio committee, that we welcome. In fact, we were discussing with our own executive committee meeting the need to have a meeting at the level of the leadership of the portfolio committee, bringing in our colleagues from the property so that we can explore the various possibilities of unlocking some of the problems that are identified there, such as was raised by my colleague from the Eastern Province this morning in the context of this matter. So that one, I think, yes, it's a viable option which would begin also to take forward this matter. But that doesn't take away really from the responsibility of this committee now to take what is the appropriate action. Otherwise, we will be absent until the end of the year again. I would like, in ending also, just to underline here that it's clear we are dealing with a variety of problems here, but the main problem is still to me is that of capacity. Capacity within the public service, which we have addressed in our report, our State of the Public Service report of 2005 and so on, has dealt very, very specifically with these issues of capacity. The problems that we're identifying here really go back to that, and we should be able to deal with them. The matters of the provincial dimensions, the responsibilities of the executive, and so on, the Minimax. I don't think the Public Service Commission can really add any value to the Minimax. It's really an operational matter that would be handled at that level. But we are all the same very prepared to assist also in that level. I can only inform you, Chair, that right this year we are entertaining a request from one of the criminals in the province to come and assist him precisely on this matter of the implementation of the performance agreement, because he has said that he is a frustrated. He signs the performance agreement every year ceremonially, as he puts it, but at the end of the day, there is nothing to show for. Well, there are obvious problems there, but we will go there and discuss with him, but informed by it about this kind of question. Chair, I don't think I can add any more. I would also thank you for the opportunity that I have to present to you. The leader of my colleagues, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Chair,
okay,
it was in response to Honourable the Honourable Member's question, request for a tool and the study. saying that necessarily for compliance with the performance agreement, you need a tool. You have a tool in the list of departments. You just simply call them and you ask why didn't you perform a contract, what were the reasons and all of that. In relation to a study, you actually do have a study that we do every year, the State of the Public Service Report, on compliance, the commentary on compliance with the 9 principles, but taking a particular theme for that year. Although that is high level, it is actually possible to conceptualize. If we do that when we go to the province, that we will take all the information that relates to a province, department by department, and speak to them. It may be that this year, probably the portfolio committee may want us to take a different approach and discuss the stuff with them in relation to a set of departments that they would like to look at, to give context to, as opposed to a general approach to saying this is what's been happening in the public service in a way that you're not able to commit.
Thank you very much. And one more thing to the first thing for debating. We now call upon the DPSA, the DG here, and the team. Someone was saying if they could occupy the firing line, but there's no line like that. But that comes closer. They are leading a debate on performance measurement and management. So you will see, I think, a lot of similarities because we are dealing with performance measurement and management. So this is over to you.
Can I
make a quick point?
Yes.
Oh. Mr. Eunice. Oh, Mr. Eunice. We'll need a fish. Yes, he's there. To you. Birthday to you. Birthday, Eunice. Birthday to you. How old are you?
Oh, 32.
So much better.
Thank you very much, honorable members, Chair of the Public Service Commission, Public Service Commission, I'm going to make this presentation directly with the DEP, and project staff who's responsible for this area of work. We're going to cover a number of areas. We're going to look at policy context for performance management. We're going to look at some key questions arising out of that. We're going to look at the question of performance measurement and management, employee performance management, and organizational performance measurement. I think the policy context, we first need to take into account the white paper on human resource management for public service, which came out in 1998, where there was an identified need for increased delegation and managerial responsibility and authority to departments and within departments. Now, of course, that came in the context of an issue that we have frequently discussed, and that's the decentralization of human resource management, where we have a centralized policy-making function within the world, which is very similar to the public service administration, which covers a broad array of human resource management matters, but then we have decentralized implementation. So recruitment, selection, and appointment are decentralized within a national framework of norms and standards. Performance management systems and staff development are decentralized to the departmental level. to ensure that there are adequate institutional managerial mechanisms in place, and to ensure that departmental policies are communicated, understood, and observed. With regard to performance management, the Public Service Act devolves powers and duties regarding performance management to each executive authority, and the Public Service regulations require each executive authority to determine a system for performance management and development of employees. This really is technically used for salary levels 1 to 12. But the SMS remains centralized with respect to that second bullet. The Baskin report, which looked into matters of senior management in 2000, identified a high turnover rate and problems in recruiting and retaining skilled senior personnel. Also, poor levels of performance and skills among some senior staff, and underdevelopment of performance management systems, with insufficient attention being given to training and development. This did, to some extent, shape the establishment of the Senior Management Service in 2001, with a new chapter of regulations and the SMS handbook. And the handbook requires the signing of performance agreements, and identifies the need for a coherent, consistent SMS performance management and development system, which was implemented from April of 2002, with the Public Service Commission administering the evaluation framework for heads of departments. I'm now going to ask Colette to take that through.
Thank you. The next question we'll be dealing with the rationale behind the actual performance measurement and management system. And the rationale needs to be addressed in a number of questions. And the key questions are around one major performance in the first place. And I think that question came up earlier in the Public Service Commission paper. But in providing performance information to stakeholders and also remaining accountable internally and externally, we also have a new strategic plan involved in any money decision making and also clarifying long term goals for these objectives. But clearly, that is a particular purpose. We know the issue of being able to make sure that we deal with the regulation compliance, the financial compliance, and then also organizational performance that needs to be mitigated. Because in totality, the whole system needs to be able to account for the output in terms of the inputs that are coming in, which are going to use the resources that are given to deliver on that particular mandate. So there needs to be a measure of that. But what really is measured? The effectiveness of the utilization of those particular resources would be the relationship of the organization around with what the organizational mandate is, what is it intended to do, what is the education intended to do to deliver quality public education. So how do we measure that, the effectiveness thereof? Clearly, the issue of the productivity, which is the relationship between the resources and the output in that particular organization, is policy. And I think one of the shortcomings of the current system was to pick up the absence of the performance standards in terms of how does one regulate the performance standards in a different context. So the practical factor then also would determine what are those performance standards be and things for durability or quality. Because when you put an example, you learn a discipline and exam, which is a natural exam in mathematics. When you mention the local learners versus Western Cape learners using the same exam, is the outcome the same in terms of the quality? And that's the question. The timing of that is also evaluating, you know, the time that is involved in terms of the associate output, and clearly the employee performance by means of a system which you only have to present an external strategic control from the individual performance. Good performance should be measured
looking at the aspect of the total system in order for it to operate. The problem with the performance management system is we believe that the event is the performance appraisal engagement between the supervisor and the job holder is actually the performance management. That is not the performance management. And that seems to be the problem in the public service, in that there are two services that need to have happened and taken place first. Meaning that at the macro organizational level, they have to be organized in plan and framework. And treating plays a very, very major role, as well as attending the particular frameworks in place. And that drives the strategic plan, the operational plan, and the work plan that needs to be in place, which obviously is a context of the financial cycle, the end-year budgeting cycle, which is cascaded down to annual budgeting cycle. Now, if those are not perfected, then we're sitting with the problem is that the second thing that needs to be in place are the performance management processes. There's a difference between management of performance and performance management. In the same way that there's a difference between table mounted and a mounted table, they're not the same thing. So the second aspect in terms of the performance management process are actually the governance and the management structures and processes that have to be played in place. When management is meeting, when the portfolio committee is meeting, when the next coding department is meeting, when customers are meeting, when next coding is meeting, when macro is meeting, they are meeting about delivery against something, which is against the strategic plan.
I think you did a difference between Richard Baloy and Baloy Richard.
Which means that the second issue is that there's also a contextual factor, and I think the commission from the state is checking, was sharing with me that also seems to be a problem, in that it cannot be a one size fits all. The aspect of the governance instructions is the organizational structure of the departments, the corporate culture, the management styles, the organizational processes are the contextual factors that basically are driving how that strategic plan, how that operational plan, and how that work plan is going to be implemented in that particular department. And that basically becomes the performance management process. And the management of performance is then the end product, which is sitting with the individual to manage whether those things have been delivered or not, and hence the aspect of the behavioral. Behavioral is more in the context of whether the individual has done the work, you know, in relation to the management, job holder relationship, in terms of what the expectations were, in terms of the performance agreement, and also in terms of the work plan, which indicates the output. So clearly, there is a relationship between the organization and the individual in terms of the golden setting and the cascading, in order to ensure that the management of performance takes place, so that by the time you manage the performance, you have basically taken care of those processes. But the dimensions are extremely important, and I think the Public Service Commission dealt with the governance and management aspects which are a problem, which means that the external control points, like the legislature, your institution authority within your particular department, as well as the role that the portfolio committee plays, deals a really important role in terms of the governance and management systems that need to be in place. Once those are in place, all IT departments, clearly they're given funding in terms of program management and then they need to be program performance against it, which is included in the strategic planning processes. The financial performance planning is also something that is included within the strategic plan and that is also related to the audit of general processes. But the three performance then becomes what needs to be measured, which are the strategic control points within the organization. So these four dimensions is extremely crucial in order for the whole organizational performance management then to be successful. But we have a problem in that nobody only focusing around performance in terms of the employee performance and not how the other three actually contribute to whether the employee performance is going to be successful or not. But in terms of the payroll system, we have in the three different payroll systems, the head of the department evaluation framework, the SMS one, and then the PMBS one, as you see right, which is the big involved one in terms of the contextual factors of the particular line department or sector department in relation to the roles below and SMS level. But in terms of employee performance, that is a continuous process. It takes
positive judicial recommendation behavior to do their work so that they can reach the organizational strategic goals, or to determine the colleagues' activities, as well as the evaluation and execution of those particular activities as well, in order to advance the equipment and the equity for that particular department. Also looking at how to improve the results of the department, the teams in the department of individuals, and how to ensure good training, one of the things that came up this morning, to understand and manage the performance of the teams, the players, the time, the goals, the objectives, the indicators, and also the agencies and supporting centers, which are normally the performance bonuses. And our greatest focus is usually on this part, but we haven't taken care of what went before. In terms of performance agreements, I mean, the objective is the timely submission of those early within the financial year between the existing authorities and the year of funding to satisfy the expectations of what needs to be done for the outer year. The PA is a common reference point for the existing authorities and the year of funding to monitor, to review, to account, and also to improve the performance of the organization. But the agency PA needs to be kept in, there has to be a golden thread between what the agency is accountable for in legal PA to the rest of the staff. And hence that is extremely critical as well as standard. The Public Service Commission has rightly shared with us more than the aspects of the agency evaluation report. So I don't think I need to go through this because they just mentioned that, you know, in relation to the compliance rate and the unsatisfaction with evidence with regard to the financial PA at this particular level. But with the ACES project, the 15 that we should say is currently managing, the data that we had as of October 2006, in terms of the survey that we had put out to all nine departments, we had an 85% response to that particular survey. At that particular point in time, only 28% of SMS, the members from national departments, had signed the PA, and 80% of SMS members from the national departments had signed it. The reason we that had not signed was basically the purpose of being signed. Members were on leave, authorized leave. The establishment, the departments go through organizational restructuring, and therefore the reluctance to sign without knowing what the new job is going to be. The establishment, so there's a disagreement, and the Public Service Commission authorized this morning that there was really no mediator in the instance of disagreement. But what we also picked up is that the essence of disagreement, the way the concept is currently structured, is after the fact. The disagreement before the fact, with individuals refusing to sign because they think that they do not agree with the ambitious work plan that the supervisor is expecting from them, specifically at the institutional authority level, what happens there? And there's no provision for before the fact, but there's also provision for after the fact. But the unavailability of supervisors to agree and to sign those PAs, and the critical success factor in terms of management's ability to undertake the full and total role of people management, so that is not the extent of the actual agreement. It's much more than that in terms of the behavioral aspect that we raised earlier on. In terms of the PSC's findings, they also spoke to that our contract. But the ACES project, in terms of the faith relation address, the expectation is that jointly between ourselves, the OCSP and ourselves in the DPRP, we have to ensure the filling of major posts in 6 months at the DC level, DC level, and CFO level. And we took by the 30th of June 2007 and by the 31st of May, the after, all the intermediaries that have submitted their timely performance. The report of the 2007 process was a policy recommendation to be submitted to the cabinet school. But looking at the whole issue of organizational performance, which I did speak to earlier on in the diagram, it is the ability of how the organization monitors the process efficiency to reduce the output in relation to the number that's been given. Now, the key question is, of equal importance are the outcomes and the impact of organizational performance. Did the output, the results, lead to the desired outcome? Did they have the require an impact. And I think the Public Service Commission has made that as an important factor in terms of the effectiveness of performance agreements in reaching this particular desired outcome. But for us, the organizational performance is reliant on the organizational processes and the technology and systems to support it in order for us to be able to measure and deal with individual performance. But the elements which are important in terms of the dimensions of governance and management are interrelated, you know, to the financial performance and the program performance, case down to the employee performance. There is a specific relationship in making sure that those things happen in terms of but the focus area and the issues, the great emphasis is required on the organizational performance management system. With the appraisal system of employees, which we call performance management, which we are narrowly focusing on, are actually the sub-systems of the whole system, so we can achieve the totality. There is a greater emphasis on the relationship between integrated planning and the implementation of the reporting and the performance management, and actually the relationship between the actual appraisal and the organizational performance. There are a number of initiatives, especially in 2007, for managing performance with six targets, two provinces for planning, the setting of the targets and the reporting. Clearly, the AEC has started focusing on performance auditing of the funds, dealing with the whole of the regulatory compliance as well as the performance auditing event organization performance. The Public Service Commission is shared with us reporting in terms of the organization performance statement template, you know, which they have had. So while we're having GCSA, we have done a presentation for on the public management watch and what that particular system does. And it's been sharpened on an ongoing basis in terms of the unity aspect, you know, of organizational performance. With specific reference to time period, quarterly decision reports, produce quarterly decision makers to be able to know what's going on, you know, in the system. At a general customer level, we're going to drop into development of the region's rail and GCSA with one pillar in the unit organizational performance management system for the public service. But we are taking that further in terms of using it from a governance perspective, in terms of organizational performance management, and to the whole community, with the GCSA. It would just like the work that will be underway in essential departments and also the Public Service Commission. The draft organization performance statement framework will be presented to the Cabinet, of course, by July 2008. And the whole organization performance management system in itself will be developed by July 2009. Thank you.
Yeah, boy. Thank you very much, Colette. Thanks, Gigi, for this presentation. You realize that it was a timing by the portfolio committee that we have to have this presentation done on the same day, so that you look at policy provisions, you look at the practical side of it in terms of implementation. If a debate is on, if any member wants to start, that's on our left now, Mr. Williams. Yeah. Okay. Any comments? Any debate? Baba? Nodi? Yeah.
This was, I just noticed that the slide 16 and 18 states this explicitly, the point that we were raising earlier on about the role of executive authorities. Some executive authorities are not performing their role as provided services. That statement explicitly, that's part of the problem. So, that's what it is. Talk about that. And the one that put up the military after that was talked about mediation and so on. But often there's conflict that happens of mediation before things like this. Or what exists by way of mediation is actually the problematic, I should add. So we may need to examine that issue course, the okay, the 881 also saying that the agent intervened. So the leadership lies in the hands of India induction. This is the sort of story that I was talking about as a communication. Can I agree with you? This is very useful. I think the report came together. There's a very interesting intervention in the area of this human. In other words, the absence of this element, the affected human negative. So this is a very interesting intervention, especially if it can be now. I think it's very appropriate. I just wanted to say that that's appreciated.
Thank you very much. You know, when the PSC was leading the debate, we didn't invite to actively participate. That was simply the understanding that being a long-standing member of this family, you know that you are also supposed to participate there. This then goes to the PSC, that if you want to raise an issue, you are welcome. If the debate is our debate, you might actually pick up at the policy level some of the things that you would like to reflect on. So there is nothing that you can say, no, please don't. Mema Tomei.
I'm going to ask a question that I asked to the participants and they successfully did not answer. I hope I'll get an answer now from the discussion. We are saying we are affected by both the PSP and now it is very sad by the discussion that the performance of women are a common reference point for the ability of those end agencies to monitor, to review, to do generally improve performance in the country. Now, what has come out from the PSC is that PA performance agreements are not consistent, they are not entered. So I just want to ask you, what is this that is used now by the executive of those end agencies to monitor, to review and to improve it? Is that not done? If it's done, how is it being done? The absence of the
community. Thanks. Let's turn to slide 70. I'm interested in the DTSA report on the signing of PA by HOD, October 2016. You see 85%, 78%, 80%, and stuff like that. Now, how do we relate this to the report by the PSC that we have just received? I know there may be a time question, but if we were to be called upon to then say let's actually comment on this one. The department 85% responded to the survey, 80% of them from provincial departments, you know, especially on that one. I'll need a comment on that one. Are there further questions? Yeah, Mr. Gillis, now you are there.
And then I'll ask you one more.
Slide 19.
I don't understand what you're saying. To ensure by 30 June 2007, and by 31st May, whatever they ask, what is it in the list? It's up to 5
No. There's nothing wrong with you. The April one still goes. I'm sure you're actually making that. But that is in the state of energy. To then say, as part of the APEC priority, so to then say, even the so-called after order, it must actually come in that the target to actually have those things done. That's my understanding. I may be wrong. What was it?
Thank you, Chair. Just a comment on the question on the night 4. The second
what, night 4?
Yeah. The second one. You say there is a harmful act involved power play regarding the common relations. Could it have the reason of the whole? And ever since time with this government to require each address for the to determine the existence of the government relations and the government of the students. Now, my question is that the world is involved in this now the political responsibility to the government of the I am not sure whether the involving the power to the great authority. The responsibility of power to the HOD or the great authority can be power. Because it is important to define and understand very clearly who ultimately holds ultimate accountability. So I'm not sure whether this devolution of power ends with the great authority or it goes down in order to give to us
and there are care of aids that have been identified. And as a result, you do find that there may be measures for putting on something that is not clearly related to the performance criterion of aids or benefit. As I said earlier on, you have had a proliferation of FMS people in the last few years or so. And you do need really what is the advice to that level for them to have specific care of these. One of the people was saying when you are creating a community job, they must have something that they are going to do. And you do want to measure specifically the performance of the individual in that regard. The awareness assessment that is being done at the moment it does not include the performance of the individual. It's more or less looking at a picture generally of how the department is doing. And I think that it would be better informed if we had mechanisms to measure what the individuals are actually doing. So this method of previous meeting with the minister and of them submitting reports on financial expenditure may not necessarily be telling you exactly what all the senior managers are doing in departments. In fact, you may find that in a senior department having only one senior management employee, that the senior may not know what the two of them are doing and is concentrating on the work of the other 11. You don't know unless you really check that every individual care is are implemented. So yes, there is a mechanism, but that mechanism would be better off if we were actually measuring the individual contribution of FMS members, because we could perform at a higher rate than the performance.
Chair, just to compliment what the CFA was saying. In 2004, when the government was being elected, have you noticed the anomaly in the performance of individual employees against the background of their department? You had high flyers of BGs who were heavily collecting departments. Departments that were asked to integrate into the evaluation of employees, an element for taking into account the performance of their organization. We began piloting integration of organizational performance assessment into the framework for evaluating employees. We are going to expand that just as a matter of information. I will not go to answer on behalf of CPSA, except to comment and say that I love this discussion. Because for me, it illustrates the significance of this portfolio committee. Only this portfolio committee can address whether there was merit in decentralizing aspects of our public administration and whether we need to revisit that. When we, towards the end of the year, together with EPSA, could not even tell SCOPA what the exact number of vacancies were in the public sector. So I like to close the discussion and hope that these are messages that the portfolio committee will confuse itself with the nature of the transformation of our public service. Did we decentralize too far? And what has been the implication of decentralizing in a situation where we need to have harmony? The ministers are going to, executive authorities are going to extend the system or performance management. Do those systems speak to each other? Or is there a merit for having a central office to determine those kinds of opportunities? In future, I hope the content of the transformation of the public service will be an issue that the performance committee addresses itself to, together with instruments such as the public finance management act and the contradictions that arise out of
thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, your comment.
Thank you very much, Chair. I think this relates to for what can be the right thing to take from the legal opinion. Because the word standing is correlated completely with the individual chief to the non-theory of the chief of all the theory. And you get the word standing from the strategic standing, you can't change the downwards in terms of what needs to be done in the organization. So technically, there's a difference between the technical and the legal. Technically, the supervisor checks with the job holder only with the word standing. They can actually account for the work is done and the work is not done. The substantial question is that if one can have contained strategic plan, and with that strategic plan is being translated down to individual work plan to cover the duty non-theory of that department. And then the performance contract assignment when that is in place. So we need to separate the two in terms of the actual legal contract, which is the performance agreement to say what you agree to do. Therefore, the issue of wanting and reviewing can actually still take place if that is a question. If you need to boldly respond, you know, to that particular question. And yet, in our own review process, given the particular information that comes through from my department and yourself, is how do we factor that into the review process? Another two issues which would be related to share with you, which has come up with that we could be interested in, the whole scoring curve for the performance bonus allocation. What is the difference between saying somebody makes a performance and qualifying? Then we see the performance beyond the stage. And if we need to be the difference between the 4.7, you either did the job, you didn't do the job, or you didn't do the job. And therefore, it would be easy for us to deal with the issue of performance bonuses. The other aspect is, we come from a really bad industry in terms of performance management. And then, the individual does a self-assessment. And the self-assessment is normally higher than what they really have produced, because they're not ready for negotiation when they have to do performance. So when they get to your supervisor, they will rate themselves as 4 to 5, hoping that the supervisor says you knock it down to a 4, and if so, we'll go to your performance agreement. Should it not be said in that? This is performance management to the management function, and if the supervisor needs to say, after that we evaluate the decision, you come in and reduce and prove to me that you are 4 in the work that you've done. And hence, if we're putting performance management back in the hands of the supervisor, we have taken performance management out of the hands of the supervisor and given it and put it in the hands of the job holder. And hence the negotiation becomes a critical problem. And I think those are the questions that have come up in the work of the individual worker, and they need to be applied on monitoring those in terms of the review of the whole system in order for the system to be effective and to be taken seriously. I think people will change with the issue of the report of 2009 and
2010. Those steps that are shared in the slide, that information at end of October 2006, this study came as a result of the content that was raised by the Commission, as well as the January 2006 cabinet discussion, saying that the level of non-compliance in the planning of cheating SAP. And those figures are not a reflection of what I may call true compliance, because the politicians by end of April, serving managers who have concluded a performance agreement. This was a secret report at the end of October 2006, which was going to be presented to the General Assembly of 2007, and they were well aware that that happened after that. If we were to produce results or tests that are a true reflection of the state culture, then we want example, on the platform of the TA, it's a heavy example of the
report that said on involvement of issues that clearly report to her. Same report was given to the portfolio committee. We spelled out what we meant in that regard. That, that there is a need to look into whether this involvement should not really be withdrawn. We didn't use those wrong ways in the report. But quite clearly we're saying that, that, that we are concerned about these issues. So if you look at the pattern of the reports that the Public Service Commission has been provided, there is clearly a need to improve the management of the public service in this country. And it is a matter that we possibly need to have a meeting on and say, how do we do it? It's not that we're doing bad to each other. It's just that we could be doing more in many respects if you look at the reports that the Commission has been giving in this regard, and you take them as they come. If you were to ask us about the management of grievances in the public service, we would say to you it takes inordinately too long for the partners to deal with grievances. All these things are pointing to one issue, that we need to find a mechanism to make management effective within the public service. And like I said, basically that's what all these reports are saying. What are they? There's no management. We're saying maybe there's a need to look at how we have director general to be much more effective, or how we have senior manager to be much more effective. But we can't, out of all these reports, consistently say the same thing, and we all don't sit down and say, how then do we begin to improve on the issues that the Commission is raising?
We identify that our madam as a strategic planning station. Actually, last year, as a strategic planning station, last year, we just in terms of developing our annual program, the audit on the corresponding to public service commission recommendation, we put that later in the year. So it then overflow into this year. That's why we are doing this one on Friday this week. According to our program. So you're right to then say we need to really and then say view the reading for the respondent that can be what is the impact of what then we do that to bring that outside.
it is quite a big question. And I think, like I say, when we debate the legislation, the draft legislation, we will need to really see how one wants to. It's very difficult to under the present regime come up with something which can the present legal regime come up with something which can balance that out. One has to actually move on a new trajectory, but also recognizing how it came about. It came about because in 1994 we had a situation of a new democratic revolutionary government coming in with an established civil service. And hence the need for certainty for direction when it came to the issue of establishment, organizational structures, appointment of staff, etc., etc. So the question now also becomes, in the current circumstances, do we still need that kind of thing? Is the civil service adequately stable to take on some of these roles and responsibilities under the stewardship of head of department? I think those are some of the questions that we need to answer politically as well.
Thank you very much. Thanks for the debate. I don't see any other hands, so we are actually coming to the end of the meeting. Life is going to be served as much better being going on. There is anything for you. Thank you very much.
I agree with you, Richard. It may be that we need to now stop and say it has been taken off the time of the rest of the events and all of them to return to go in the study. And I think for me, there are people that we are trying to do so. We do need to have a mission. We really do need now to go there. And then my proposal is to get relocated in the So for the frame, for the new public service administration, I would reconsider with all the services and put it there. But I don't know whether you have to renegotiate with the union. Not necessarily, not for that. And for training, I think one of the things that I found out is that actually people love training. And so that then you manage all of the mission tonight. Cost effectively. You have one spent on training you have one implementer. Right now it's not clear what Treasury is doing. In Treasury, the super department, there we cannot be. Not if you're building a developmental system, you need to just heavily in which you can run the board and quite heavy when you need to speak with one voice when you need to, and you don't have that.
Sure.
It may have been necessary to do away with that in the state of confusion, but not in the so, Mama Mishima, I will tell my mother that I need to have a
get the name from her.
Okay, that's in the book. So there were two directors in one for each, and there were two deputy directors.
Do you know?
Yeah.
And do you know where we
okay.
I'm here for after meeting. Thank you. There's a pair of PC up to the office, and I thought it would be nice if you could just maybe follow me.
Okay. And then you can get it electronically.
Okay.
And then I can also supply you with a copy of the attendance register and the guest register. If you just follow me up to the office, you can, you've got the information with you, and I can just point out who was what, and on the guest register, the name, the signatures, everything just looks like that.
Okay.
Okay. Great. I'm ready when you are, yeah?
Okay, and I just want to get some stuff together. Okay. So you will give me like hard copy of the presentation as well, what you need to
do. Or you can take some here as well, if you'd like. The PSC presentations are in here, and then this is the...
So this is the second presentation?
Yes, this is the second presentation by the GPS. The first presentation is in here by the PSC.
Okay.
Alright, and...
Okay. And the soft copies are
here. Yeah.